Live from a doomsday bunker deep within the rich black soil of southern Illinois, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour 2026. 30 minutes of no holds barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling and occasionally other topics of interest. With your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, the first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, and the longtime legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, a man who is respected as much as he is feared, Richard J. Ringhausen. And welcoming a special guest, singer, dancer, actor, amateur herpetologist, longtime bridge tender for the state of Illinois, a man who can whistle Yankee Doodle while eating crackers, Gregory J. Johnson. And marksman, sculptor, daredevil, the seven-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, a man who set a new record when he made the Kessel Run in less than 11 parsecs, the youngest of the Ringhausen brothers and the star of your show, Alan Ringhausen.
Thank you.
You never get tired of that, do
no,
you?
No.
Yeah. It's done.
Okay, settle down.
Settle down, everybody.
Okay. Woo! Craig, I didn't know you were such a song and dance man.
Yeah, man.
And
for sure.
You like lavish musicals?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Guys and dolls, man.
I, Rick comes out, he's diff. What is it you're the most feared?
I said I'm as respected as I am feared.
Respected as you are feared, I come off as marksman, and Twinkle Toes over here comes in.
Song and dance, man.
Song and singing and dancing his way through life.
You know what I did yesterday?
A pirouette?
No.
Oh, no, it's wrong guy. Sorry.
I held the donkey. While they cut his hooves, trimmed his hooves, and I held the
donkey. I just want to make it clear, Rick, that this is not going to be a show about trimming hooves of any creature.
All right. Now, I'm not talking about that at all. I'm simply talking about that I had the gumption.
You are talking about it.
I held the donkey.
That's fascinating.
Richard Ringhausen, ass wrangler.
That doesn't sound any better than being a song and dance man.
All right.
I don't want to agree with him.
Topic.
Yeah, you had one. I can't remember what it was.
You warmed you up with that we're filming today from from a bunker in the ground, a doomsday bunker.
Don't you do that every week?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, your theme is alligator wrestling, and Florida, by the way,
yeah,
is the flattest state in the nation.
Yeah, I don't think you could build a house with a basement there, just fill up with water.
The second flattest state in the nation.
Nebraska.
Kansas.
Illinois.
I do not believe that.
So that makes me think, flattest state, lots of alligators, second flattest state. There should be a few alligators up here somewhere.
You would think.
But yeah, we're the second flattest state.
Have you ever seen one for real, Johnson?
We're living closer to the rivers where it's kind of bumpy and hilly and stuff. But you go driving across the state of Illinois, it is flat as a pancake.
Yeah, but there's some swamp
spots. Have I seen a real alligator?
Yeah.
Yeah, on golf courses in Florida. But not in Illinois.
No.
Okay,
I got a bridge.
Well, let me tell you something.
Boy, as a state employee, you don't joke about alligators, I don't think.
Okay. There are alligators in Illinois that thrive during the summertime, and they hitchhike on barges and other small boats, and they end up in the wetland areas of Illinois, and that is a fact!
I've never seen one.
They hitchhike like remoras on a shark.
You're sitting there all day long.
Do you ever look out your window at
the river? Surely you've seen at least a couple of...
Gents, I haven't been bridge tender for like 5 years.
Bridge tending, right? So I'm talking to I'm talking to Johnson about movies the other day, right? And we got talking about different ones. He didn't like one of them I gave him, but he starts talking about It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
Yeah, except the one scene he picks out is the scene after George jumps in the water and they're sitting in the bridge tender's building. He says, "You know, it's nice that bridge tender has a heater in his building."
It is pretty nice. Those buildings get pretty cold.
Yeah, you got no heater.
No, we do, but it's also nice that we have one, too. But that guy had a wood stove, remember?
I just thought it was strange that you'd be the only person in America who would have latched onto that particular scene as being the most important part of the movie to remember.
Yeah.
It wasn't the part where he's handing the town strumpet a few extra bucks to...
Violet Bick.
Violet Bick.
Come on, Violet. We got a heater in the shop.
He's definitely in here. It'll warm you up.
Walk through the grass barefoot.
Let me get you something to drink while you're here.
What other movies have bridge tenders in them?
Woo! Hey!
Speed, maybe? I don't know.
Didn't a bridge go up and down in Blues Brothers?
But they jumped across. Well, first they made all the Nazis jump off the bridge in Skokie. Yeah. And then I think as they were driving through Chicago, they jumped over a lift bridge. But that's a pretty common thing in a lot of movies.
I don't think they have a guy that sits in the booth with a pot-bellied stove raising and lowering it.
Probably not.
We have a furnace, by the way, not a...
Okay, here's my actual bridge question. I think once upon a time you mentioned that you also worked on the or serviced the bridge in Alton.
I do, yep.
Okay, and it's got those big tall towers, and they got lights on top of them.
Yes, sir.
I think you mentioned that you've changed the lights on them.
I have to. I haven't yet, but...
Okay, my question is, do you have the option of climbing up a ladder inside the tower, or can you walk up the cables to the top?
No, you use the ladder on the inside of each tower.
With a harness.
But could
you... Yeah, with a harness.
But you could walk up the cables.
I couldn't.
I mean, because those cables don't... They're not sagged like the ones in...
So there are cable inspectors for that bridge, and they do climb those cables to inspect them, and I think they're insane.
Oh, that sounds like the job to have.
When you say they're insane, the walk, you know, like you're thinking about walking up this cable and say, "Oh, that walk's insane," or the guys that are walking it are insane. That guy's insane. Which are you saying?
The guy's climbing up on the wire, on the cables, inspecting it.
Okay.
But the cables, you know, the main cable going from the bridge deck up to the top of the tower.
Super wide. It's like it's walking down a sidewalk.
It's a big wide thing, isn't it? I'll bet it's
different than walking up a street in San Francisco.
I'll bet it's close to 10 feet wide.
Or Calhoun.
The cable?
Yeah. The main cable goes up that's holding all the... Well, that bridge has a whole
that's
bunch.
That's as big around as a city bus.
No, they go up all of those yellow-coated cables. They check each of those. Those are, you know, coffee can around.
I think Rick's talking about the main cable, the biggie.
Yeah, but what he's saying is on that particular bridge, there's not one cable and they're all
suspended. That's right. It is a whole bunch
of... It's like fingers that come down and spread out.
Yeah. You'd have to go crawling up them like... The skinny kid from Saturday Night Fever. When they stop on the bridge, he's, "Hey, Tony, look at me! Look at me!" Right before he falls in the river.
Yeah. He's not going to get a job as a safety inspector, is he?
Well, not now. He's only one day on the job.
You ever fall in the river in your job?
No, I can't swim.
You ever fish anybody out?
No.
You can't swim.
What's the most interesting thing you've seen going down the river? Other than a boat full of
young women.
Or men. Yeah, I did. There's anything wrong with that. Go ahead.
Them wind turbines.
They bring them one blade at a time, don't they?
No.
They stack them, right?
They're stacked. And they're higher than the,
and
the
so
pilot
is,
house.
So's the boat of young women.
Yes. That is correct.
But you can raise the bridge high enough they can go under them. Yeah.
The blades or the women?
Joe Page raises.
All right, come on. Let's get away from this.
What's the closest?
55 and a half. I would have thought it was a lot more.
Well, there's also a clearance between the water and the bottom of the bridge before it starts to raise. But it itself raises.
What's the closest anything's come to the scraping the bottom of it?
Well, they shut the river down for flooding before that happens, generally.
I didn't ask about that.
No, no. What's going
through? What's the closest anyone's come to scraping the bottom?
No, we don't keep a record of that.
Like you raise the bridge all the way up, and then you sit down, brace yourself, and say, this is going to be a close one.
No, it comes out of the bathroom, looks out the window, goes, oh, damn!
I forgot to raise the bridge again.
When those paddle wheel steamboats come up, they have to actually lower their 20-foot stacks down because they're very tall. Those things are 65.
Those stacks are just show, though.
Yeah, but they can still have to, but they're not made of air. You still have to lower them down or they'll hit a bridge.
Not made of air.
Well, but they're show because it's not a.
They're not really shoveling coal and blowing cinder.
Wouldn't that be interesting though if they did?
Yeah, it really would. Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Do you give any of those cruise barges that go up? You know, that are actually hauling people. They go up the Illinois. I see them down in Mississippi all the time.
No,
they don't go up the Illinois ever.
No, the only thing we get is the paddle wheels with you know. Tourists on them.
You didn't happen to see this giant double-deck houseboat made out of stainless steel with two guys that look like Santa Claus on it go under the bridge one day, did you?
I did not.
Okay.
Did
were you one of them?
Have you seen the movie The Lady Killers?
Yes. Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And every time they kill someone, they dump the body over the edge of the bridge onto a barge going underneath of it.
Yeah.
You do a lot of that?
None.
I was sitting in my office one day down along the Mississippi River and saw a guy just swimming, not across the river, swimming with the river. Just out in the middle, just swimming down the river.
You give any thought to helping him?
Not really.
Did you say your wife was like driving down River Road one day and saw an airplane
crash into
the river?
Yeah.
What?
She was like halfway between Grafton and Elsa driving down the River Road. And like a small single-engine plane crashed into the river and sunk.
Wow.
Was it a seaplane? Were they attempting a landing?
No.
Oh.
It was just
a regular old plane. Yeah.
They were attempting a landing, but it didn't work out well.
But not in the river.
But that's the sort of thing that would really surprise you if you looked out the window and saw that.
And it was before cell phones. You know, it was quite a few years ago. And so she drove back to Grafton and... You know, goes to the police station, said, I just saw a plane crash in the river. And they drive to where she saw it, and there's just no sign of anything. Nothing floating, nothing.
Would you think there's going to be a big hole in the river?
If she hadn't seen that, nobody would know where those people ever went. But, eventually they were able to fish the plane out.
Well, that's kind of cool, and your wife helped do it.
Well, she wasn't, like, physically out there with grapple.
No, but she made it possible.
I'll admit she's strong, but I don't think she could pull a plane out of the river, Rick.
Or hold a donkey still.
How'd that go for you?
Well.
Good. Here we go. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, this wasn't supposed to be a
show. Nothing.
We weren't supposed to talk about that, were we, anymore?
Put a halter on him. Me and Dennis put a halter on the donkey.
Mm-hmm. Done. You good?
I'm done. Doomsday. I wonder. Oh, well, before we do that, let's do a commercial.
I think we're pretty close to Doomsday.
Here's a commercial for you.
Today's episode of the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Dr. Ferd's Artificial Intelligence. Why rely on real intelligence when you can have artificial intelligence? Do you need fast results? Simply pull up the Dr. Ferd app on your phone and ask any question. Brad will have the answer. It's because he's a Ringhausen brother. He's always right. Your question, oh my gosh, your question will be answered with the absolute certainty that can only come from one of the Ringhausen brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike one of these Johnny-come-lately artificial intelligence companies, you can be assured that Dr. Ferd hasn't used real intelligence for decades. His intelligence has been artificial since grade school, and he has mastered the art of it, Dr. Ferd's artificial intelligence. If any AI program is going to destroy the world, this will be the one.
Mm-hmm.
And Brad would take offense at that. Did you listen to the podcast?
He won't take offense to it. He is a liar. And really, that's basically what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, when it comes to,
you got to tell me
that when it comes to that, you know, like saying stuff that's not true, but saying it in such a way that, that people, is he making, is that real? Is he lying right now or is that real?
What, but you think you're the president of the United States?
The trick to that is every so often you have to tell the truth. And then people look it up. Oh,
yeah, telling, maybe it is right.
He's right.
You know, because they really
and that upsets them more.
Yeah. I find that when I straighten out Suzanne on some issue, where I'll look, because I'll go online, look it up, and show her the correct answer that I was right.
Yeah.
She doesn't appreciate it at all.
I bet she
and
really
here, you're just
that.
Helping. You're just trying to help.
Trying to make her more worldly and intelligent. Educated.
You could have gone the other way.
Educated.
Less dumber.
I wasn't going to say something.
That's
like
what
that.
You implied.
No.
Yes, you did.
No. I don't think so.
And Rick, who's to say that she's not already smarter than you are?
Okay. When it comes to artificial intelligence,
stuff that one right
have
up,
you ever he? Have you ever seen any movie, TV show, or anything where artificial intelligence doesn't eventually destroy everything, or they got it, they got to stop it from destroying everything? Sooner or later, it becomes sentient.
90% of the movies I watch have nothing to do with that.
I said any of the movies where that's a subject.
Like the movie AI.
Oh, where it's a subject.
Like okay. Terminator. First thing that happens, as soon as the computers became sentient, destroyed everything.
Okay.
Age of Ultron and Marvel Comics. You turn what? Something like that loose and it destroys everything. It's what they do.
What kind of geek are you? Age of Ultron.
You haven't seen Age of Ultron?
I guess not.
That's one of the adventure movies.
Okay.
I think James Spader was the
I'm trying to think. Is there probably
computer
some...
to HAL the computer on 2001? Go back to that.
Yeah.
You make a machine and give it its own, turn it loose to run society, it's going to destroy everything.
I mean, it makes good movie fodder, but I think that for the most part, you know, they're helping.
Now.
I tell you.
Okay, so the topic was, if you're getting ready for doomsday, what are you going to bring to the bunker?
Well, certainly not a computer. Because it'll end up killing me. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
You know, and it's not like.
Okay, the zombie apocalypse, the last thing I would do is go into a hole in the ground and wait it out.
Well,
I'm taking the battle to them. Okay. I'm going to win.
And I guess that's the real question. What kind of apocalypse is it?
Yeah, you got to set the parameters.
Yeah, nuclear. Okay, well.
He said zombie apocalypse.
I'm fine with that. I just want to know what we're going to, because that changes what I'm taking with
an apocalypse where society has collapsed enough that there's no electricity or water or computers or phones or anything like that.
But are there actually zombies, or you're just trying to survive out there?
Well, it's either zombies or just the big guys who are now going to wreak havoc over the little weak ones.
Okay. Yeah, but you know, a gun's a pretty good equalizer.
Yeah, but what are you going to do for your bullets when you run out of them?
I think books are primarily your biggest thing you need to take with you, because when you don't have any way of...
Good God, you're a loser.
How are you going to plant crops or build...
We're farmers, man. We know how to plant crops.
Not you
two. Hey, Craig, right here. It's all right here.
You have a Craig. We're the only two that matter.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to plant crops.
Craig's going to take a book,
How to make a cake.
How to put a halter on a donkey.
Oh, my God. There's nobody there to bring me food anymore. I'm going to have to figure this out for myself. I'm going to plant crops. I want a gun. Okay, so people are trying to knock down the door to the hole in the ground that you're living in.
I thought
Rick.
We were the only ones left alive.
No. There's hordes of people that are going to.
Why are we going into a bunker then?
Well, you don't really.
I agree.
I meant that figuratively. When you go to wherever it is, you're going to ride out the storm. What are you taking?
I thought it was just a few people. We're the last ones on Earth,
and we
got to start back over. That's why I'm taking books.
Well, he's doing the Adam and Eve approach.
Who's Eve?
Yeah, who are you taking with you?
Well, we're not doing
who's
this.
Who's going into your bunker?
he's preparing by watching the boats go down the river with binoculars.
There's my Eve.
That doesn't really happen.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay, so we're taking weapons.
Weapons. You got to have weapons.
Weapons, food. And
I think you got to plan ahead. You got to be able to reload your shotgun shots.
Okay, if it's just, you know, like...
Some black powder.
Like, you show up at my house and say, Allie, there's apocalypse has occurred. It's every man for himself. What are we going to do?
You're going to slam the door.
I shoot you and see what supplies you had.
That's a great idea. I might even go with that, even when it's not the apocalypse. I'll just shoot him and see what supplies
he got. Honey, who's at the door? Well, it looks like it's Rick Ringhouse, and I'm killing him.
See, I say you got to go to someplace. You don't want to stay in a city. I mean, I understand, you know, you can loot the grocery stores and everything, but that's going to empty out.
Everybody else is doing that,
you
too.
You know, where are you going to get fresh water? Or, you know, the sewer systems are going
to
go.
You
got
to head to the mountains, live Jeremiah Johnson style. Yeah.
You know what? Actually, over in Calhoun, it'd be pretty good. You know, you've got the rivers on both sides.
You're trapped. He can't swim.
You get that spring.
You really only have to build a wall across the north end of it, and you can keep all the wild men on horses from galloping in and killing everybody.
Yeah, I mean, but they flush him down to Brussels. He's got nowhere to go. They're going to drive him into the river. He's a dead man.
Can they not find kayaks in Jerseyville and swim and, you know, float across?
Yeah, but, you know, kayak. Traditionally, a river's a good defense.
Yeah, it's a moat, essentially.
Yeah. Well, it's better than what do you got out in the middle of Kansas? You know, they're going to come at you from every side.
I don't know. We are the second flattest state in the country.
That's what he said. I got to believe Kansas is flatter than Illinois.
It's not. Trust me. Look it up.
If you carved Alan Jersey and Calhoun counties out, I would get that.
Well, percentage-wise, you know, you got to go with the big picture.
Craig, Alan Ringhausen said it, so...
So it's probably bullshit.
No, stuff. True.
It could be that, you know, 10% that is real that you have to pick through and, you know, okay.
You start off taking a bunch of canned food because it's going to take a while to grow it.
You're going
to
carry around a backpack full of canned food.
Initially.
Who's got time to grow food? We've got guns. We'll take their food.
That's it. You either kill stuff and cook it, or you take other people's stuff.
I was watching a new season.
We're going to barbarianism.
I was watching a new season of Alone.
Is that how you say
Alone?
Barbarianism?
Barbarism? You watch Alone on TV?
What is it?
Alone.
No.
Where they dump people out in the wild.
Take 10 people and dump them out. This time they dumped them out.
Is it like Naked and Afraid, but they're clothed?
No, they're clothed. Okay. And they're just one person.
And they give them a certain amount of supplies.
And this time they dropped them off north of the Arctic Circle, up by the mouth of the Mackenzie River.
Okay.
I mean, and they're all like survivalists, you know, and they all know how to hunt and trap and fish and that it's going to be just a breeze for them. And they get out there and, you know... Strike out.
Start crying.
But yesterday, the one that got off was a guy that he caught like 5 pike. You know, he had like 20 pounds of food. He's built him a smoker, you know, and had it smoked and had food for the next 3 weeks.
But he's hoarding it.
No.
Something ate it.
He sat down outside of his thing going, I can't deal with the loneliness of this. I've got to be with my family. It's not fair what I'm doing to my family.
Oh, my God. That's why I've been on the show in the first place.
He dialed out after 8 days. 8 days.
Eight days.
And it was an emotional wreck. He said, I just never dreamt it would be this hard. And soon
you know, there's months of planning going into that.
We said, you know, Alan, if you send Alan out there, you know, he can hunt, he can fish, he can trap. He'd be sitting on a stump going, I miss Sarah so much. What am I going to do? Come get me.
If I tapped out after 8 days, sir, it would be like, why are you here?
You know, you've been talking about this $500,000 for the last 6 months every day, how we're going to spend it and how you're going to just stay up there until the last cow comes home. And here you are home after 8 days.
Yeah. There's no way I could come home. And as a matter of fact, I don't know if I'd want to.
You know, and every one of these people are like, you know, they're living in. Like tiny homes or off the grid or whatever,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And they're all talking about...
They're reading books on how to grow food.
You know, this money will make a big difference in my family, you know. You know, it's going to change our lives. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, why don't you just get a job and change your family's lives?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think their dream is to live like normal people. If we just tough this out one time, then we can get back on the grid.
I have this picture, Johnson, of Alan sitting there, and he's just shot a rabbit, you know, and he's laying it down going, thank you, Mr. Rabbit, for giving your life essence to me, you know, that he has to offer something back. And, you know, that I hate to kill you. I hate to kill any living creature, but, you know, it's me or you.
We're your children.
And then he ate its raw heart.
That's where I would draw the line. I ain't eating nothing raw.
Could you make fire? Could you make a fire, Johnson? Could you start a fire from nothing?
Without matches?
Yeah.
No.
Or a lighter.
I think I could.
I mean, I could attempt it. I know friction. I probably couldn't flint and steel, but I could probably rub wood together until it, you know, started a fire. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty good at that.
They give them a sparker that you can strike to make sparks.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Some guy lost his
sparker the first day.
First day, and sat on the beach and just started whining.
And they had to call and come get him.
There's no way I can survive without that. I may as well go home.
The first guy out up there in the Arctic Circle is a big guy from Missouri, you know, and he's living off the grid, you know. And when he says living off the grid, then he a little later says that him and his wife moved on to a piece of ground of his parents and set up shop. So he's really living off of his parents. I don't know how much off the grid it is. But he's going out, and first day he's going out to hunt. And I don't know what he's going to hunt, but he's got a bow and arrow. And he trips, and he runs his arrow through his leg, like 4 inches into it, and has to cut it out and call him to take him out the first day. Because he ran an arrow through
back on the grid, going to the hospital.
Wait, I don't need any kind of anesthetic. I'm going to tough it out. What would the pioneers have done?
Wouldn't have much
died
choice.
Of infection.
I think
congratulations.
I think that's how that was going to wrap up for him. He sized it up pretty quick and said,
"And medicine was one of the other things I was going to say to take. You know, some simple stuff like."
Medicine. Oh, I told Suzanne, I said that when we bail out of the city and go to live at the farm, scour the house for every bit of medicine in it. Every first aid item, take all that with you.
Wait, when you say scour the house, you're going to scour the house you live in?
I'm not going to go loot other people's houses, no.
For first
aid?
Well,
it's the apocalypse. Well, that's not looting.
I thought you were going to the farm and rambling through that house and getting all the first aid supplies. I don't even know if we have any first aid supplies in the house I live in. I take no medicine.
You should.
I take nothing.
If the apocalypse happens, I'll let you know, Rick.
If you cut yourself badly, could you sew yourself up?
I could. Johnson?
No, probably not.
What are you going to do? Just sit there and cry on a tree stump?
They've invented super glue. I'll glue it shut.
That'd work good. Yeah, there you
know, they say super glue really will work for that.
Yes.
Keeps the infection out.
Yeah.
Seals it up until it heals.
Burns like fire.
Have you ever put super glue on a cut?
I put it on my tongue once.
Nothing has surprised me less than that, of all the things he said this evening.
Okay, so you're
the World Book Encyclopedia.
You're carrying with you now
cans of food.
Cans of food. I'm assuming some kind of water bottle or something. Yeah. Are you going to drink out of a creek somewhere?
I'd have to filter my water or boil it.
You couldn't get down on your hands and knees and drink out of a stream?
I'm 100% certain I could do that. I've done that in the past. I'm guessing that when I get to the farm, the cistern's just going to be filling up with water that washes off the roof anyway, and I've drank out of that cistern 1,000 times.
They don't use a cistern at the farm.
They used to.
Well, yeah.
Well, that's what toughened me up.
Okay.
When Sue and I were first getting married, we were engaged. And back then, you had to get, like, blood tests and stuff done, I guess, to prove that you weren't marrying your cousin, Johnson. well, you're from Calhoun. Anyway, you know, the doctor, he does, like, a physical. And, you know, Sue and I are in there. And he says, and he asked me, he says, are you an athlete? He says, because you just have, like, a natural, healthy physique.
I would have questioned his credentials, Rick.
I would too.
That just ain't
you
right.
Know, and to this day, I'll remind Suzanne of that, you know, that I am just naturally, after years of working in the orchard, that I'm a prime.
When was he in the courthouse for some different reason?
That I'm a prime physical specimen, and it's held me up for 60 years now.
Okay, Rick, when I was talking about being like one of these borderline liars, you have to say something that is slightly believable.
That he's an athlete.
Yeah.
Were you a bowler?
I played baseball, thank you.
Ah, yeah.
A lot Kirby of baseball Puckett, in the great ocean. Athlete.
Is chess considered a sport?
It is if you're intelligent.
Okay. You probably could have been. You probably got the physique for, like, curling.
Man, I'd love to curl.
You could do that.
It would be cool, wouldn't it?
I'd like to try it.
I would like to have one of the curling stones as a doorstop in my house. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I'll work on getting you that. You're going to bring that with you to the zombie apocalypse, you know, carrying around a 14-pound curling stone?
Mm-hmm.
You're leaving it behind, aren't you?
What's that?
Your curling stone.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's taking a skull collection with him.
I'm leaving it as a... I'll start a new one.
Could you make...
<That's> wild.
These
will
all be human.
Could you make a bow and arrows?
It'd be like... what was it? Not Alien. The other creature. Predator. And he's got the skull necklace and...
E.T.
No. On his belt. Predator. Yeah. The movie Predator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the later ones. So he's got a belt made out of skulls. Yeah. Or how about that guy from Apocalypto? Oh, and he's got that necklace that's made out of, like, plates of the skull.
Yep.
Not that I'm endorsing that kind of thing, but...
No, but I can endorse Apocalypto. It was a darn good movie.
It was a pretty good movie. Are we done here?
Is it close to that
time? We're out of time. Okay. We're over time. Well, but you got a lot of things you're going to have to cut out of this to make it arable.
I don't have to cut anything out.
What about Johnson Wood?
See you later from Rick Gator.
Crocodile.
And Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that little bit of legal business in hand, see you later from Rick Gator, Crocodile and Alligator. This has been a Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network production. Except no substitutes. Because there aren't any.